Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Wasn't built in a day.
Might have fallen, though.
I think it took a week. No, that was God. Then he rested on the 7th.
Yeah, there's only 6 days.
All right. Rafael Devers makes his debut for the Giants last night. Evan Giddings in for Darryl the Guru Johnson. And Giants lose 3-2. But obviously, Devers with a couple of hits. Excitement out at the ballpark. It was coming through the television screen, Goo.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it, man.
You were, we got this covered today because...
Wow, dude.
I was all over it. You were at the game, and then we got our main man, Steven Risotto, who was in the clubhouse. So we got everybody represented.
Yeah, shout out to Goo. He's at a family reunion, headed down to Texas. Going to be out for a while, so happy to be sitting in for him. But
hey,
last night was... I think a moment that everyone had been waiting for since Sunday at approximately 3:45 Pacific Standard. Like the moment that the bombshell comes down that the Giants are getting Rafael Devers, it's when can we see him hit? And not going to lie, Steiny, another loss last night. He didn't disappoint.
No, he didn't. You know, one of the, and you may be too young to remember this gentleman, a guy named Gary Radnich.
I'm familiar. You guys reference him a lot.
Yeah, he's a great media guy from the past. Did a radio show. And he would always say something like this. Devers, he looks like something. Like he just looks like something. When he's in the box, he's going to hit. And last night, struck out in the first. But then, boy, you love that double. You love that double.
Steiny, you could
give
hear,
me some exit velocity numbers.
You could hear, I don't have to give you an exit velocity. You could hear the ball hit the bat and the crack through the television screen. That's how hard he hit it. Now, he didn't get to third, but that's not what he's here to do, Steiny. He's not here to take extra bases. He's here to hit for extra bases.
Yeah, I'm watching that game last night, and I'm thinking – there were a couple plays that whether you have Devers, whether you don't have him, you got to make. And, you know, the Casey Schmidt play where he gets picked off second on the line out from Wilmer Flores to Kwani, my guy. It just can't happen. I mean, you can't do that if you're the Giants and you're set up to win games with defense and pitching. That's just a killer. That was a killer last night. Play of the game as far as I'm concerned, D.
Today's about Devers. Yesterday was about Devers. It's all about Devers.
All right.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that this team's strength is still going to be its pitching and how well they execute. I mean, you can make a case. Like, they had 10 hits last night. It's the ninth time that at home that they've had 10 hits in a game this year. I think it's a great sign that they got as many. Devers had a pair. But you still left 13 in scoring position. You were still 1 for 13 with runners in scoring position. and you didn't execute when you had to. So, like, I understand that Devers comes in and he excites everyone. And I actually think the press conference before the game and some of the things he said after the game were fascinating, and I want to get into. But as far as the game itself, the Giants aren't all of a sudden the Los Angeles Dodgers at the plate. Like, they got a big bat. They got probably the best hitter they've had since Buster Posey wore a uniform. But it doesn't take away from the fact that this Giants team is still going to play in a lot of close games.
Yep.
They're still going to have to win a lot of one-run games. And the Cleveland Guardians are a quality club as well. So I wouldn't look at the first game that he played as, you know, a bit of a, I don't know, you know, like, I wouldn't look at it as negative or, you know, a little underwhelming. Like, to me, seeing him in a jersey, Steiny, was enough for a lot of people for the 37,000 plus last night.
Yeah, and obviously the double brought in the first run, and he gets a single in the ninth to keep something. Or was that the eighth?
Ninth.
Yeah, it was the ninth. Right. They had first and second with nobody out on in the eighth. Also, but look, the guy looks like he's going to hit, and if you know haven't heard some of the things he said last night, he says he's willing to play anywhere, which most likely includes first base, which was an issue in Boston. But he was clear about, you know, I don't really want to talk about Boston that much, but happy to be here. Whatever they need me to do, meaning the Giants, I'll try to do it. And all in all, I think yesterday was kind of a big unveiling for the Giants. It almost felt like they were using yesterday to acknowledge to the fans that they're into a new era here of Giants baseball, and Devers is the latest part of it. That's what it felt like to me, a celebration of this guy getting into town, representing a player who's got a bat that they haven't been able to find for the recent past.
Yeah, I mean, it represents the turning of a new leaf, like the beginning of a new era. The Giants finally have acquired. It's as much about a bat signing as it is about certainty. Like, one of the things that they've been missing on offense for a long time is certainty. 2021 was a great year. There was nothing certain about any of those hitters. They all just had career years. For the last three seasons, there's been nothing certain about their lineup. Rafael Devers, whether you want to describe him as a clubhouse issue, a great teammate, just a DH, a first baseman, however you want to describe him as a person, as the player, he is a certainty. He is going to hit. And that's something that everyone, I think, like, I was out at the ballpark last night with a few friends, and everyone was excited to watch him hit because you're certain that something's going to happen. Like, 2-0 count against Ciccone. You're going to get a fastball, and I felt certain that he was going to hit that ball hard somewhere. He obviously went to the gap, got his first double. Oracle Park erupted. But there's a certainty in watching him that there hasn't been, at least on the offensive side of things, for, I would say, at least five seasons.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I don't know if you can tell this after one game or whether it's based on all the information we've heard about him or that we've seen in terms of what he did in Boston, but he's going to hit. Like, I don't think the ballpark is something that's going to get in his head. He just looks like he is a hell of a player, and he's going to hit in any ballpark. Now, the power numbers may feel something one way or the other, but just watching this guy up at the plate, he's got a presence that's undeniable. It just does. And, you know, eventually they're going to get healthy, and they're going to get Chapman back, and we'll see what the middle of that order looks like. But no, I was pretty impressed. And you're right, they haven't had a bat like that in the middle of their lineup that they could just plug in and day out for a while and have a guy who might hit 30 homers, but who's going to drive in a lot of runs, and he's going to hit for average. He's going to draw walks. And I see what you're saying about, He's just going to be a consistent in that lineup that's going to have to be dealt with.
Yeah, and there's, look, that's also part of what good teams around Major League Baseball, they have dudes. Like, you need a guy in the middle of your order that you can rely on getting either on base, setting up someone else, or delivering runs from players in front of them. Like, I think that Devers, you just look at the starting nine last night. I realize Chapman isn't there, but it is night and day different when you're looking at the Oracle Park scoreboard and you see Rafael Devers, number 16, DHing, batting third. It does so much for that team on paper and as a fan. Like, as a ballpark experience, when you're going there, there's now something you have to stop and watch or make sure that you get back to your seat for. And while the Giants were playing great baseball, good baseball before he got there, and I realize that they're now on a three-game slide, it's almost as if a slump kind of doesn't make you think that they're not going to get back to winning. Like, they've lost 4 of 5.
Right.
It doesn't really feel like that. And I know they got to start winning games and they're going to have to produce, Steiny, but in a way, there is far more legitimacy now to the Giants that Rafael Devers brings. And I just don't know if you can really quantify that.
No, I mean, and that's I think what you're talking about is Giants. You're right; they've lost 4 or 5, but they're going to have Devers in their lineup today. They're going to have Adames in their lineup today. Eventually, they'll get Chapman back, and that lineup will start looking like something that's being penciled in every day. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, what'd you think last night of Rafael Devers' debut? Two hits, a scorching double, second at bat, drove in the Giants' first run, kept the rally going in the ninth with a single. Giants couldn't get one across, but this guy looks like he's going to hit. He says he'll play wherever the Giants want him to play. We can talk about that on the other side because, you know, that's still something that the Giants are going to have to figure out. But what were your impressions after one game of seeing Rafael Devers? 888-957-9570 is the number. And coming up today at noon, we're going to have Yahoo baseball writer June Lee. He wrote a great piece on what was going on in the Red Sox dugout preceding the trade. We're efforting John Smoltz, former Braves closer and starter, at 12:55. That would be John Smoltz. And listen today between 12 and 12:30. This is another big thing we got going. Listen today between 12 and 12:30 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever take on your Golden State Valkyries. That's tomorrow night. So between 12 and 12:30 today, we'll be giving away two tickets to see the Fever Valkyries game tomorrow at Chase. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Driven into the gap. And nobody's there. And Devers off to the races. And he's going to stop at second. The Giants take the lead. And listen to this crowd.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Evan, as you pointed out, if he really was off to the races, maybe he gets to third and sack fly brings him in and, you know, you get a win last night.
That's not what they brought him here for.
They didn't bring him here for his base running?
No, they didn't bring him here to run, unless it's trot, because he's supposed to be hitting home runs. No, they brought him here to do that first part of the highlight, which was into the gap.
Gone.
Not quite.
You know how hard you have to hit a ball? By the way, like, it was difficult to tell on television for a lot of people, but the way that Cleveland played him defensively, they were trying to take the right center field gap away because Devers has power to all fields. So you can't really play him, you know, to pull opposite field. But the one thing you can do is limit the alleys. So the left fielder is slided towards left center field, the center fielder towards right center, and the right fielder is actually clenched a bit towards that triples alley. And he still split the gap. That's how hard he hit the baseball. And so, like, yeah, he didn't get to third base. If he was on his horse, he's got to unhook the trailer. Maybe he could have got there. But the fact remains that Rafi Devers, He is so much fun to watch swing a bat.
Yeah, he is. He is. No doubt about it. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get into some of this sound also from yesterday. Devers met the media. Let's start with Bob Melvin. This is before the game because this is still, I guess, to be determined where he's going to end up playing and when he's going to end up playing there if he does. But where's Devers going to hit and where's he going to field if he does, Bob?
Yeah, we talked to him a little bit today, and like he said, he goes, I'll play wherever you want me to play. I'll hit wherever you want me to hit. So that's how it started. He's going to DH today. He's going to hit in the three spot. We're going to work him in and get him some ground balls at first and make sure he's comfortable before we put him over there. And that's pretty much the way we look at it right now, a little bit of DH and a little bit of first.
All right, that was Bob Melvin. And, you know, the one thing I want to ask you about, Evan, is the Giants – They don't want to play Wilmer Flores at first base. Devers is going to learn the position. And until he gets to first base, they're going to have to make a choice. Or let's put it this way. Devers is going to take at bats from the one guy who's been pretty productive in Flores at times. Not at times been productive, but, you know, they got to figure out how they can get both those guys into the lineup eventually, right?
Well, the only way to do that is to have one of them play first base.
Right.
That's the only way. And then you're also going to have to take Dom Smith out of the lineup, and he's been hitting well. But the difference between, again, like, okay, so Dom Smith after last night is hitting .325 in his small sample size of the Giants. Wilmer Flores has the most RBI on the team. I think he's top 5-ish in the NL. So he's been playing well this year.
Right.
Those guys are not certainties. To expect Wilmer Flores to lead your team in RBI or to hit 20 to 25 home runs over the course of 162, you're playing with fire. If you're reliant on Dom Smith to be your five hitter for a full 162-game slate, you're playing with fire. That's where Devers comes in because he is a certainty. Now, the pregame comments I actually thought were probably the most interesting part of the day, granted the Giants lost. Why do you think that one of the first things that Rafael Devers says to the media, and apparently has told Buster Posey and Bob Melvin, I imagine, is, I'm willing to play anywhere? Because that seemed to be the root of the problem in Boston, no?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the issue. But I think that he felt like Boston owed him a little something. Because they were building around him. Like, that part I kind of get. I kind of get how a player of his stature would have been taken by surprise with the Bregman acquisition, and then we're going to play Bregman at third base, so you got either DH or play first. You know, I think there's a lot of athletes that feel like this is the team I came up with, and I should be getting a little bit more respect. I mean, to me, it stands the reason that If you get moved for whatever reason, that you come to your new team and you'll do whatever they want. I mean, we got a great 4 months of Jimmy Butler here when he came. You usually tend to get players at their best when they get here. I also do believe that he does want to play first base here, but in Boston, it just didn't sit as well with him because of the circumstances that preceded it.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I think, one, it does signal a clean slate. Like, he's trying to turn a new leaf in San Francisco. There's no doubt about that. I also think that, secondly, it's a bit of a middle finger to Boston of, I wasn't willing to do this for you. And thirdly, kind of a branch off the second point, I do think it's a bit of an admission that he could have handled things better in Boston. Because one of the first things he's telling us is that he's willing to do something here that he wasn't willing to do for a team he won a World Series with, that he played his entire career for, that honestly, he'd been a part of their organization since he was 15, 16 years old. So he clearly had deep connections to Boston. He felt deeply hurt by the way things played out. And while communication might have been at the root of the issue, I also think he understands, I would hope, that he played a bit of a role in that fracturing. Now, the Red Sox probably hold most of the blame, but the fact that he's willing to now play first base or wherever, honestly, means that he's trying to grow up a bit, I think. And that also means that he probably could have done some things better in Boston.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I do think, yes, by him saying, I'll play wherever you need me to play, including first base, that to me is a signal to the Red Sox. You know, had you come to me and presented it in a certain way, I would have been more open to doing it. So, yes, I absolutely think that's fair. And I was thinking about, if you're a Red Sox fan and you're listening to him say that, you're probably pulling your hair out. The one thing from a practical standpoint with this team, though, is, okay, Devers is going to play first base. It doesn't mean he's going to play it well. And I get it. He's here to hit. But he's going to have to learn a whole new position. And he's never played there before. And so that comes with a little bit of risk also, especially for a team that probably, they're going to score some more runs, but they're not a big run scoring team, and they still got to play good defense and pitch well. Well, you just downgraded at first base most likely when he starts to, take balls there.
Well, I think it gives them less of a margin for error, which is kind of something that they were playing with. Again, so like the Giants have lost 4 of 5. They have their first losing streak in the month of June. If this had happened and Rafael Devers wasn't on the roster, I do think there's a lot of we would be having a conversation about, well, are they really that good? Right. is this team really a playoff team? We would be having our doubts. And granted, they're still 9 games above 500, a couple games back of the division, which is, back in control of the Dodgers, yada yada. But because Devers is in the lineup now, I do think there's more of a confidence and hope that this is just a blip on the radar. Like every team, every good team goes through losing streaks, goes through ups and downs. For the Dodgers, for example, when they faced the Giants over the weekend in LA, they had lost 5 of 10. It wasn't as if they were playing great baseball entering that series, and now they've righted the ship a little bit. But no one would ever say, well, the Dodgers are, people are wondering about a team like the Guardians, who are staring up at the Tigers in their division. The Giants are going to see them again tonight. What's going on? Everyone has trust in Cleveland to figure it out, because that's generally what they do, and they have star power on their team, specifically in their lineup. The Giants have not had that. And so when the offense scuffles or when the offense doesn't produce, there's a real concern there that I think's legitimate. But now the legitimacy is Rafael Devers. And whether he's at the beginning of the season, 0 for 21 with 19 strikeouts or whatever it was, he's going to still figure it out and be a near 300 with a 900 OPS type of player. So the Giants have found a lock in the middle of their order, and that's why, as much as we could talk about first base, DH, Flores, Dom, whatever, like, he's the guy. That's the dude.
Yeah, I mean, I I'm trying to figure out where the expectations fall in this team. And I like to put it like you just did. They've lost 4 of 5, and they've played 1 game with Devers. But let's just say theoretically they wouldn't have Devers and they would have lost 4 or 5, just like they had. I think we look at this team, and if we take the whole season, we say, we're going to struggle to hit. I mean, we're not going to score a lot of runs, but we know that. So we know we're going to have to win in other ways. So we would have been looking at the last 4 or 5 games thinking, well, we almost like these stretches are going to be inevitable where we're not going to score runs. And we got to figure out a way to combat it. But with Devers, I think you're right. I think the concern about long scoring droughts, and I'm talking about weeks at a time, like we've seen, the idea would be that they're few and far between at this point. And that's where I look at the difference of this team, is I feel like they just increased their margin for error a little bit, because you figure they're going to score a few more runs with Devers. I don't know how noticeable it'll be. I don't know if they're going to go up to 4.5-5 runs a game. But the fact is that their lineup gives you more confidence than if he's not in it, clearly. And I think it, I think what it allows for Giants fans to believe is that they are a far more well-rounded team now than they were before he got here.
Well, and take last night, for example. I know they lost, but any game where you get 13 runners on base, you left them there, you got 10 hits, you're probably going to score more than two runs. Like, I know they lost the game, but I would be pretty encouraged by the first overall offensive output that also didn't include maybe your second or third best hitter in Chapman. Like, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, you're going to have games where, you know, maybe you don't come through and you don't get the big hit, or Schmidt makes a dumb base running error, there's a questionable send or not send in the ninth inning. Like, those all of those things happen in baseball. But what can you can control? You can control how many hits you get. You can control your overall offensive effort, which the Giants just haven't had a whole lot of. So, like, last night, you saw that their margin for error is a lot wider than it used to be. You know, instead of they had multiple scoring chances in both the eighth and the ninth innings.
Yep.
Two men on, nobody out of the eighth. Schmidt obviously gets thrown out and doubled up. In the ninth inning, you have a couple more chances to score. Like, that's kind of what it's about. Like, I think that's what Posey is looking at when he's saying, I'm going to bring in Rafael Devers, is I'm going to give my team so many more opportunities to score. It may not equate to runs all the time, but the opportunities are what matters, because our pitching staff is already really good. Our bullpen has been the best in baseball. And if I increase our run scoring opportunities just even a little bit, well, then we got something we can work with here, because it's also going to help you beat the bad teams, and it's ideally going to help you beat some of the good teams. And I mean, Cleveland, I know they're a game above right now, but Cleveland's a quality club.
Could you feel, now we talked about it, and on television it kind of showed Devers first at bat. The place wasn't jammed at that point, but all they missed was his strikeout.
I was pissed, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to you. Like, give me some vibes out there at Oracle.
Well, that's why I was pissed. So I'm waiting in line because my friends want to go get a gluten-free flatbread or some vegan hot dog. Shout out Celiac. But I'm sitting there like, dude, the whole point we came to this game for is to watch Rafael Devers hit. And all I'm hearing is people cheering and standing, and, you know, the ovation is what it was, and it was a little early in the game. Not everyone's in their seats yet, but I was pissed at my friends. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to go run up and watch this guy hit, because that's kind of the point, is now there's appointment television for the San Francisco Giants offense.
Right.
There's appointment hitting for their lineup. So I was pissed that I couldn't see all of it, because I got up there, I think it was for the second pitch. He ended up striking out. But, you know, it's like, I got to see that guy swing.
Well, especially on this team, because...
Yeah, I can go get a beer for the rest of the eight.
Exactly. Let's go to Mark. Mark's in Tucson. What's up, Mark? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning. Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I really liked your point about... Devers, the kind of psychological changes that he may manifest within himself as going forward as a Giant. That was really cool.
Oh, thank you. That was Evan. I don't know.
Really very excited about the Devers trade. I think Posey made a real splash, and it's, I think that a lot of Giants fans have been waiting for a more high quality batter like him for some time. So just want to give kudos to Buster Posey. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I do too. And this is one of those, and thanks for the call, Mark. And I don't know how you feel about this, Evan, but the trade was made Sunday, and sometimes this is the way it happens. The trade was made Sunday. You're like, wow, Devers. Wow, they just got a good player. And then over the course of a few days, it sinks in a little more. And I think here's what I think. I think there's a lot of Giants fans out there that were kind of waiting and wanted to see something. And I think through Ohtani, through Harper, through Judge, through Stanton, all those monster names that they didn't get, it was disappointing. Okay, so now they trade for Rafael Devers, and he might not, let's just say he isn't in that group, but he's right there, up there with them, or up there right under them. And I think what's happening is, like, people are starting to realize over the last two or three days, this guy is really good. He's not just, he's not Chapman. He's not Adamas. Like, he's better than those guys. And it's starting to sink in that he's going to be here a while. And they've got a guy who's got 30 home run potential, 275, 100 RBI, all that kind of stuff, a great eye at the plate. And I think they're starting to realize how good he is, because let's face it, I mean, he's been in Boston for his whole career. But you start looking at the numbers, you start watching him at the plate day in and day out, and I think people are going to realize how good he is. And I had him on my fantasy team. You know, he produces. I mean, that he produces. There's no doubt. And they haven't had a guy, you're right, Evan, that has this kind of production track record where there's no real reason to expect a significant fall off anytime soon.
Well, it is about Posey. But I also think, too, and I don't want to go full Keith Law, but one thing I haven't heard a whole lot about is the credit that the team actually deserves, in my opinion, for this happening. You don't go out and acquire Rafael Devers if your team is 500 or below. That's not an albatross deal that you go out and just swing for, in my opinion. The team proved to Posey, and it's a two-way street because he's had belief in them, and I think the culture, the whole shift from last season is real, or it's beginning to come into focus. But this team proved that they're good enough to hang with the big boys, that they're good enough to be 10 games above 500, go into Dodger Stadium without Rafael Devers, and be a game back of the team that won the World Series last year and is at the top of your division. So you can hang with them. I mean, they only won one game, but that Friday night win was big. And for you to then go out and acquire Devers, like, that to me is, it's a massive piece, but it's filling a specific void that this team doesn't have, with the understanding that it's already competitive, that it's already a good club. And so I think that the team also deserves a bit of credit too, because you have to prove to your front office that you deserve help. Every single year at the deadline, we talk about buyers, we talk about sellers. And the last couple of years, the Giants have been by, I think, most fans, some media members, people have wanted them to sell. Why? Well, because the team hasn't been that good, or right, they've been middling, or they've been very average. So far this year, this team has been above average. To my surprise, honestly, I think to most people's, they've played above water. And Buster Posey understood that this team had an opportunity, has an opportunity. And so that's where also the Devers piece comes in, too. It's like, Posey deserves a lot of credit, because clearly, I mean, you are what your record says you are, and he got a big fish. But the team, I think, also deserves credit to prove to him that they deserve to be helped, and they got in a big way.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, Evan. That's what it looks like. Let's go to Bobby's in Los Altos. What's up, Bobby? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I think it's the first time in radio history I've ever heard someone shout out celiac, so congratulations, Evan.
Thanks, Bobby.
I have a minor question, then I have a major question. So my minor one is, since you were at the stadium, I guess, Evan, since you were at the stadium, maybe I'm just still a little bit upset from that hold of, was it Dominic Smith in Game 3 of the Dodgers series? When they hold him at third base, and obviously we end up losing by one run.
Oh,
but
yeah.
From what I could tell, it looked like I was upset when Jung-Hoo Lee was held up or didn't go, but then when I looked at the replay, it looked like there's no way he would have made it, because Kwan just, he gunned down, who was it, Schmidt at second?
Yeah.
And he was running in towards the infield. I mean, he was almost basically in the infield when he caught that quote-unquote sacrifice fly. So do you think he should have run? Because I feel like he would have been tagged out.
Yeah, Evan.
And then I got a major question. Then I got a major question for you, Evan.
Okay. I'm not going to lie, Bobby, real time, I did not think it was a send. I mean, Stephen Kwan has a howitzer. He's a gold glove left fielder, and he showed off his arm a whole lot last night before even that play. So in real time, I did not think he should have sent him, but I understand why people were frustrated.
Yeah, okay. So here's my real question. So obviously it was a great debut. I'm sure the TV ratings were incredible for last night's game. But the thing that I can't get over, and I still have not recovered from that 107-win season, is that, you know, you got all these analysts, you guys have all these people coming on saying, hey, now the Giants are favorites for the West and all this stuff. And I just can't get over the fact that at some point, Glasnow, Snell, Sasaki, and even Ohtani will eventually be ready to go for the end of the season. And look, I'm not a hater. You guys know I'm not a hater. I'm not a troll. But I just don't understand how people think we're going to win the West when eventually these injured arms are going to recover. I know we probably have a better bullpen, but I mean, am I just I don't know. I don't want to be a hater, but can you just tell me like why people are so convinced that we're going to win the West now? Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I'm kind of with you about winning the West. I mean, I still think that's going to be tough, but I think it's because now you look at their lineup and it feels so much more respectable with Devers in there, especially the top six guys.
Yeah, Bobby, I would say, and Posey, I think, addressed this. I don't know if it was yesterday or around the deadline, but you got to be able to hit. And to their credit, like, I mean, the Giants don't have to play the Dodgers every single game. You know, winning the division is about winning games, beating teams, winning series you're supposed to, and getting enough against the big boys.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about Rafael Devers, made his debut last night for the Giants. Two hits, including a line double in the gap in right center that ended up scoring the Giants' first run. Hey, today, guys, you got a great opportunity. Listen between 12 and 12:30 today for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever take on your Golden State Valkyries tomorrow night. Listen between 12 and 12:30 today. Hey, you planning a road trip? Tahoe, Napa, or even down the coast? Make your first stop Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, and be done in about 15 minutes. Your ride will be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for coupons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.